Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Hill Skills and Thrill Show with your girl, Holly Woods of Hartford. I'm happy to report to you today. It's an exciting day. It's August, and we are now back into the back-to-school mode with Pole Control Studios. Most of our classes will be themed and have a full array of morning and evening classes when fall returns. So shortly.
That was not the broadcast for today. For some strange reason, we kind of got caught up in an old audio clip. And that's fine, too, because this is how I began this whole radio transference. You have been listening to your girl, the one and only, Hollywood. Thank you, audience, for joining me. I have been creating a new series called What the Hell Happened, Hollywood? And that's where we should be dropping off from. So what you were listening to just a little while ago was my introduction for my August newsletter at Pole Control Studios. Every month, I created a newsletter both auditorially, because I wanted to make sure students who weren't able to just sit down at work and read a long newsletter get pretty much a nice little synopsis of what's going on at the studio, and also have an opportunity to sign up for anything that they feel fits their needs. So I started recording my newsletters to give students the opportunity to use it in a different media form. And it was easier to share when it came down to being like in a classroom or being in a special area where we're all connected, to just give them the link to the radio show. So that's how that all began. But this has become sort of a peaceful opportunity for me to get therapy that is much necessary and needed from all the trials and tribulations that Pole Control Studios has put me through. I started this business 13 years ago, and I haven't been prouder of any of my successes, because it has brought so many people together. It's offered so many amazing, life-aware opportunities, I should say, where we've had students from all different sort of backgrounds just come to try to class or maybe try it for a party, have no real interest in pursuing it further, but has never had anything bad to say about the lessons that they learn. And that's literally what we do. We introduce this form to people who would never, ever would give this a try before, or may have never realized how empowering and amazing it can be for them. If you hear the sizzling in the back, yes, I'm in the middle of cooking. I'm making some corned beef hash. It's a beautiful Friday morning. I'm deep in the woods near Boston, Massachusetts, hanging out at my boyfriend's house and having this little opportunity to kind of vent my next stage of what's been going on with Pole Control Studios. So if you've been listening in, you have heard that John Provincial, my ex-partner, has had a huge, I'm going to say, weight lifted off of him. He no longer has to stay in business with myself. And I think that was his biggest issue, was how do I scale this business with a woman who may not know what I'm doing? It's mostly because we've never sat down and had a meeting. Never. Isn't that crazy? Over all these years, I could never sit him down and say, this is my projection for the next 3 months. This is what I expect for the next year. This is what I would like to do for the students, and this is how I would recur my events. I could never do that. So anytime there was like a chair dance class, he knew nothing about it. Anytime there was a free open house for the public, he knew nothing about it. And often, anytime he threw something, I knew nothing about it. So he would give me the, oh, are you coming into town for this event? I had no idea there was an event, because not only is it not scheduled, he never spoke to me about it. So there we have horrible communication, because he's never clarified anything as far as this business is concerned. And then, of course, our relationship as personal domestic partners, completely disastrous. I was speaking earlier about his parents, and the fact that they're dead, and I feel horrible for the fact that he didn't get the opportunity to get into this stage of life still with guidance and parenting, because I believe he was the worst mistake his parents ever made. He was born 8 years after their last child. So he was completely a mistake or a surprise, as I would like to say, but I'm going to say mistake, because they didn't treat him like a surprise. They treated him like the mistake. They've given him very little growth, very little care, and for the fact that he had to witness his parents together just in sake of being together for the money or just for the kids, kind of like instilled in him to never really be visible or there for his own family, just financially. So he used that as an opportunity to try to control us, but then also he used it as the catalyst that had broken him, which was, oh, you guys cost too much. Oh, you guys want too much. And that's kind of where things really start going wrong. I've always been the breadwinner. And when I mean breadwinner, there was very little things that was needed. $8,000 a month I brought into that house. And that covered all of the immediate bills that were in the house, studio and home bills. So he really had to pay for nothing. His insurance covered his medication, and any other money that he used and he spent, any money at all he used for his, and though it became eventually legalized, he would purchase it mostly for his own, you know, intake, but then he would be extremely selfish of how he would even administer. Myself being an avid marijuana user and advocate, I never held out on money to buy my own. So most of my friends would either buy marijuana so we can smoke it together, or I'd get an opportunity to have a few dollars and purchase my own, which often didn't happen. So I wasn't hugely smoking like I did before, you know, he got involved heavily in this business. Because of all of these things, I believe he has more of an opportunity to scale his own business in a way, because now that it's legalized, he's been focused, well, even before it was legalized, he was mostly focused on the trends of the marijuana, which really kept him from being a visible partner in the studio, because he was often either at a sesh or hanging out with his friends from, you know, the industry, all the farmer boys, and trying to figure out his life. I'm not quite sure, but I did hear from one of his friends. Well, I'm not sure if it's a friend. He mentioned, he goes, are you dating that woman? And he said, yeah, that's my wife, he claimed. And then his friend clearly said to him, she's too much woman for you. You be careful with that one. And me hearing that fired a little bit of how he chose his friendship. I was fairly embarrassed, and I was more embarrassed for him, because a man that you don't know just told you that you have a woman that you can't control, or you have a woman who just won't fit in the mold that we're trying to build. And with all that knowing, I guess it didn't really dawn on to me that they were kind of maybe molding him to more, I don't know, if it could be a homosexual lifestyle, but definitely pansexual, because I know there's been a lot of activity what I've recovered from the tapes from my house when I'm not there. I'm not sure exactly how that activity has played itself out, but I'm no stranger to the letting my freak flag fly. And I know that without many years of even having the opportunity to touch me, he's most likely has, you know, ventured into another realm of his own sexual depravity to find himself, and he needs to find his own way. That's fine. But for me to be kicked out of my house for it, for me to be avoided, to be in a kitchen because the food that you purchase with your food stamps, I would be eating. You don't even eat because you're sick. You only drink milk and ice cream because your illness. But then you buy steak. You buy all these foods, and then this to hoard food just so I could not eat it. That's the worst form of mental warfare manipulation. And I'm not sure how often he did that to my son. I know he tried to control what my son would eat when my son needed a snack or my son just wanted something. He would make sure he had to ask or he was in control of how he was administered. And it was such a disgusting display of fathering or fatherhood that I never backed that up. I never condoned that behavior. Meanwhile, you hear that sizzle? Meanwhile, I said I moved on. I met a man, I fell in love. And yes, before him, there were two other whole men. And I didn't go into a full relationship with neither of those men because one was a man from my past who came back from Atlanta and decided to see if he could re-pursue me like he did in high school. Or like he didn't attempt in high school, as I should say. And it worked because I had an amazing sexual relationship with this man for 2 years. But it didn't turn into anything else. And I was fine with that because he was going to move back and kind of figure his own life out. And I didn't feel responsible for him making a decision that was changing his life, even though he came all the way from Georgia to marry me. I wasn't interested. Then there was another guy. That guy and I went on a date, and I was told by some of his friends at an event to watch out for him. He's very tricky. They call him tricky. I didn't know what that meant until he raped me in a lot behind a 55 Trumbull behind a gate parked where the electric cars were. He locked the doors. He mounted me, and he raped me. I would have had sex with him. And that's the sad part, because I did like him. But he raped me, and I could never see past why a man would take something that I would have given to him freely just for the sake of having power over me. So he's given me the hugest mental disease physically I could ever really accept, which was being an adult who's been raped. I have been molested and raped as a younger adult. I'm so sorry, not adult at all. I was a child. As an adult, there's something that triggers differently with rape. And I wanted to murder him. I wanted to kill him. I wanted to find who he was and destroy him. I wanted to take his daughter and rape her. I just had so many ill feelings, things that I would never just imagine myself saying or doing. I wanted to do out of pure hate and out of feeling so degraded. But I haven't spoken to him or seen him ever again. He does stalk me on my social, and I don't speak to him. Now, there was one other man that I did not mention because he hasn't earned his role in my life because he literally came in to my life to destroy it. And just know he came from the South as well with an agenda to marry me and be involved in my life, but had no interest outside of sexual relationships with me. And since I was not interested in just being a girlfriend or somebody sitting around waiting for you to come back to me, I let him go. And it was hard because it took me a long time to let him go. I loved him for so long. I've loved him my whole childhood. But he came back and he kind of gave me that closure that I needed, that I was too good for him. And unfortunately, after he promised his mother he'd marry me, she died. Promises will go to her grave. the letter that I wrote her will go to my grave, and the communications we had when he was around or trying to be around but not really, I will take, and we will have that forever, because his mother and I had a really great relationship, and I'm very happy that he was able to come into my life just so we can be reconnected, she and I. But for him to come into my life the way he did and try to destroy it, I'm over it. I'm over the idea of men. And I was blissfully given the, oh, you don't date black guy type title, when that's not true. The guy I was with for a few years, black guy. The guy that raped me, black guy. The guy, the other guy that came up from the South, which tries to marry me, black guy. But who am I with now? I'm with the white guy. I'm with the guy I've been seeing for the last years, even though it's been on and off, mostly because he wants more than what I can offer him. Again, I don't feel dating as a homeless woman is the best position to be in. However, he's offered me his home. He's offered me more than whatever I could want from him, because I really don't want anything from him. I want to be able to get on my feet and do things on my own. I want to be exactly where I was when I left off, before I met John. I want to be in that place where I was just getting my apartment, building my life, and not stressed out or worried about anyone. I was making my $1,000 a day, my $6,000 a week, and I was saving my money and building my life. Though at that time, I was considering maybe someone else, still, the ups and downs of relationships is not really why I'm in this position. The reason why I'm in this position is because I did not let him control the relationship. It's because I didn't give in to a relationship. It's because I didn't use the business as a ploy to be with a man. And he used it to be with me. So that's possibly why the business is the complete failure from this and not the relationship. I try to block him from communicating with me, and he'll still find ways to talk to me, communicate with me. So what my goal is to cancel out all my social media accounts. Here's that egg for that corned beef hash. Cancel out all of my social media accounts and then give myself the ability to start over, maybe in my real name, maybe with a new persona, maybe even with a new LinkedIn bio. But I need to find a job, and I need to find myself again. If any one of you actually knew me, you would know that I was, I've never been unemployed. So these last 22 months of this COVID drama keeping me from work, keeping me from making money, is totally out of my realm of understanding. I've always thought I made money. And from what I understood from what John was expressing, I made a lot of it because he never needed to do anything. But since August, that changed. August is around the time that my boyfriend and I originally broke up because of all the excessive drama with the business. I couldn't travel back and forth from near Boston all the way back to Hartford every day. And because my ex was keeping my car from me, I'm using Uber or friends, which I hate to use my friends, but accessing resources that I've never needed before just so I could have a bed to sleep in, a warm one at that? No, that's definitely beneath me. And to let a man do that, especially one with such a white privileged mindset, I can't. I can't be that stupid, and I have been. I have to give up a lot of the things that I thought that I needed in order to have the freedom that I know for a fact that I crave. And it's mostly giving up the business, the house, car, the washer and dryer I just purchased, and whatever else that isn't tied down to my credit. I could handle being on my own. I could handle even taking a few steps back financially from what I'm used to. I've looked at apartments on Albany Street. I've looked at apartments on the North End, the South End. I've actually kind of humbled my needs down to basic. What do I need basically? A roof over my head and a job. those two things will give me as much room to get out of this space. And most of it comes from me already knowing, because I'm very talented, of what my plans are. Often I don't really have plans. It's tough to kind of think about being in this position and like, oh, what's next? I don't know. This is the craziest thing I've ever felt. I don't know what's next. But what I do know is that this isn't forever. And because this isn't forever, I'm in a way better position to move forward than move backwards. And backwards would be the feeling that I was feeling, self-doubt. I was feeling hurt. I was feeling like I let people down. I'm feeling like I'm letting a lot of people down. My students, they mean so much to me. I'm not even concerned about them coming to work or be at my studio when I decide to reopen a new one. But my most concern is that they're there now. They're there today. And their goals and their plans are being totally affected and interrupted by his very, very selfish mentality. And in order for me to move that direction forward, I got to continue putting everything out there, put everything on paper, get all my thoughts out of my head, allow my mind to be clear, and continue making plans. This is the first time that I've been on such a 100% video and, of course, John and his needs before I considered my own. Now that I'm 100% thinking of my own, I have a lot more options here. I can move back to Florida. I can move back to Atlanta. I can go back to Arizona. I can go anywhere. I can move here in Boston. I just want to be able to get that job so wherever I live, I know I'm comfortable. So what am I working on now? Most of the things that I've been really good at over the last few years, it goes back into the realm of information technology, which I should have studied a little bit more in college. But times are changing. Everything is done online. I am getting certified in user experience development, and I'm trying to work on getting my application and website development certification out the way as well. And I know I'm like stuttering on all my words because I'm kind of salivating at this corned beef hash. It looks so good. Let me turn this baby down. And working towards this goal is definitely. However, the therapy sessions are still necessary because there's still so many unspoken things that has gone completely awry in this whole thing. And I need to speak about them or I'm going to feel like I'm going to explode. You ever had a thought in your head that you just know if you don't tell? It's not like a secret. It's like you're going to forget it. And if you forget it, it's going to damage. I don't want to forget. I don't want to be in a position where I do not know how I feel. I know very, very clearly how I feel and what my intentions are with these steps of how I feel. One thing that differs him from me is that I don't operate the business through emotions. I allow myself to kind of take a few steps back and realize what I offer as the director of classes and as the owner of the studio, what I offer and not what people are taking from me, not what I'm giving away. And his constant attention was on the negative, and it was how students would negatively contact him while he's in a surgery or negatively text him while he's busy taking whatever. His constant reminder of how his health was the catalyst that kept him from operating the business properly was so obvious and so evident that I needed someone else to run the business with, which is why I look forward to having additional partners like Tali and Tyler. Those people were there to save my life. And then Dan and Heather from the 78. My plans were not to be stuck in this position, but reopening and being involved in another part of this venture that would go forward. It's gone so opposite of forward that I don't think it's going anywhere. It's not that it's going backwards. It's just stagnant, staying still. And because of that, I have to think about career changes. And the career changes will require me to have some sort of stability without having to run around or maybe get a car in order to do the job. I love what I do. I've never, ever had a day at that studio where I didn't feel the light from those students just pour through my body and just give me such great hope. I know that that studio had so much more potential. But under Pole Control Studios' original agreements, I'm believing that it deserves better. It deserves more. And I'm going to give it amazing face, body lift, body contouring, baby whatever, and handle this studio in the part two, phase two version that I anticipate will definitely get me to my strategy of my exit, which is retiring within the next 8 years and moving on to whatever state I'd like to, purchasing and having ownership, but not necessarily being in a position of where I am today. I don't even know how to explain it. I just know this has been quite an ordeal, and because of all of this, I am so humbled and so excited for my next steps moving forward. I can't think of anything other than, all right, when do I put it down? When do I place it around? And I'm going to give you the opportunity to kind of give me some advice and help me out with this, because these are crazy decisions that I'm finally making on my own. So if you want to give me a call during any of these broadcasts and give me any of your advice, I'd love to hear from you. The phone number is 563-999-3707. Again, 563-999-3707. This is your girl, Hollywood, again telling you what the hell happened and giving you updates about what my plans are for the future, because this is great therapy for keeping me out of the nut house or keeping me away from doing some sort of self-harm, which I have been heavily debating. Thank God that I have it, and I've got a good family and support system like all of you. So thank you again. I appreciate your time and your energy. Until next time.